It's been a while. Of course, I've been under the weather for a while, but let's see what we can do with it. I'll start off in chapter 7, verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. You could make a message out of that right there. But I'll go on. That's just one verse. And it was told that the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved in the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved in with the wind. Then said the Lord to Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shazar, the son of at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say to him, Take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin in Syria, and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria and Ephraim and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against you, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, Ask you a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depths or in the heights above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I go tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you abhor shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon you, upon my people and upon my father's house, days that have not come from the days of Ephraim, departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for a fly that is in an uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks and upon all thorns and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep, and it shall come to pass for abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter, for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. And it shall come to pass that in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines at 1,000 siblings, it shall even be for briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. And on all hills that shall be digged with the mattock, there shall not come thither the fear of briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen and for the treading of lesser cattle. There's a whole lot in this chapter, and I hope I can get through it. Back to this first verse. If you bothered counting, there is 7 different names named here. What would 7 mean to you about 7 things in the land?
Completeness.
Huh?
Completeness.
No. Let's think about the 7ites in the land. These are negatives.
Okay. Yeah.
See? I mean, they don't necessarily mean those things, but there's still symbolism there. Remember the 7ites in the land, the 7 spirits cast out of Mary Magdalene?
Yeah.
There's 7 here that's coming against Israel, see? The king of Israel. And they went up to Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail. Okay? Like I said, I could take that thing and go on it for a long time, but that's not what we're here to do. We're trying to glean all we can. But they went up against Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David. The house of David is the seed of Abraham, isn't it?
Yeah.
all the way back to the seed of Abraham, saying Syria is confederate or camped in with Ephraim. And Ephraim means what? It's what? It can be, Ephraim speaks of double fruit, but it can be duality, it can be positive or negative. And here we know it's negative because it's coming against the children of God. And his heart or his what? His mind was moved, and the mind of his people as the trees of the forest are moved by what? By the presence of, is what it should say, the wind. And we know that the wind is the Spirit of God, right? In symbolism. So as the trees of the forest are moved, so are these people's minds moved because of the fear that's coming on them. So even though they're children of God, they have flaws. Would you agree to that? And that's what God's telling us. Even though you're children of God, you've got faults in your thinking process. And that's the purpose of what we go through in this journey in life, called life. We find those flaws and cast them aside and shore up those weak places with the Word of God. Right? Then said the Lord to Isaiah, go forth now and meet Ahaz and Shear Jazeb, thy son, at the upper end of the conduit of the upper pool. And what it literally says, let me get to this thing here, that Shear Jazeb means the remnant shall return. See, that's a remnant. That was Isaiah's son. He was part of the remnant at the end of the upper pool, or literally, what's that speak of? Okay, but it's a upper pool. It's actually, what's it really speaking of? Upper pool in the higher way of the fuller's field. What do you think it's talking about? Upper pool. Look at me. Upper pool. Here's where things are pooled up in our minds. It's really talking about the mind of God. It's talking about the mind of God. So it says, you meet he said, you and your son, who speaks of the remnant shall return, go to the end of the conduit. And what is a conduit but a place of travel? It's a course of travel, isn't it? And didn't I just talk about the journey? That's what it says. You get to the end of this journey, guess what you got? You're in the mind of God. The mind of Christ is the mind of God, isn't it? So, he says, not in, but near the highway of the fuller's field. And that fuller's field literally means to wash by stamping with the feet. Kind of like tromping the grapes, you know, in the vats, in the press. See? So it's your walk that you're talking about. And as you walk this walk out and follow the course that God sets for you, didn't God tell him which course to take there? If we follow the course that God directs us to take, not what man tells us, not what a preacher tells us, not what your mama tells you or your daddy tells you, but what God tells you, when you follow that course, you're going to come to the mind of God. Now that ought to make people happy. But most people will never hear this, and most people will never follow it, will they?
They're fearful.
Because it's only meant to be for a remnant. That's one thing I can still never grasp. Why me? I can never grasp. Why can I see it and they can't? You know, I really can't. I mean, he said so and that's enough, but still it's like, I can't understand. Why would he pick me over somebody else? You know, that blows me away. But do you know how special it is for God to choose you to understand to hear this? I mean, that's just not a casual thing. That's not a casual thing. This is very, 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 I can't even put it in words. It's so important, and so it's an honorable position to be in. It's tough, and nothing easy about it, but it's such an honor to be in that position.
If you think of the verse where it says, humble yourself in the
sight of the Lord, enter the presence of the Lord. Yep.
If it becomes a prideful thing,
you ain't going to go anywhere.
You're not
going. No. You're not going to hear anything, you just drop off. But to actually follow that conduit, that course that he gives you, see, that's going to get you to the mind of God. And that's what we're all after. We've already got it, but we just don't realize we got it yet. We don't realize what we got. And it says, verse 4, and say to him, not take heed, but observe and what? or rest. Observe and rest. On the seventh day, what did God do?
He rested.
And didn't he say, enter you into my
rest?
See, we're supposed to enter into his rest. Exactly what God said to do right here, wasn't it?
Wouldn't that be like, be still and know?
Be still and know that I'm God. He said, fear not, neither be faint-hearted or weak-minded, is what it should say. Don't be weak-minded. Don't let somebody else turn you around and get you back off the course that God showed you. You listen to what God showed you. See, I can't tell you where to walk. You've got to hear God do that, don't you? He's got to give you that direction. It can't be me. Nobody can do it for you. I had this one friend, bless his heart, that's where he was at. And he told his wife, he still believed in the rapture and everything. I ain't talked to him for a long, long time. But he said, and I'm sure he still does, but he told his wife, said, now I know you're a Catholic, and I'm not, but when the rapture comes, you just hold on to my hand because I'm already got our ticket. You know, we're ready to go. And he believed he could grab her by the hand, take her with him, you know, like God's going to take everybody away, which is total wrong concept anyway. But yeah, but that's what people think in their mind. And as a man thinks in his mind, so is he. You know, so that's where he's at. If that's, God wants him to change, he will do the changing. Okay. He said, but don't be weak-minded for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah. So don't worry about what the fear comes in. Didn't Jesus say, don't fear in the Gospels what man might do to you? Don't fear it. Don't worry about it. If it's going to be done, you can't stop it. And if it's not to be done, they can't do anything about it, can they? They can't go ahead and do something God said they can't do. And if you believe this, say, if you believe all things are what? All things are possible. Well, everything's possible. Anything that needs to be done is possible if you believe what God said. Not what somebody said he said, but what God said. See, that's how Abraham became a child of faith, a child of God. He believed what God said. He didn't believe that there was a God. He believed what God said. And there's a large difference between those two statements. Verse 5, he said, pay attention, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against you, saying. He said, so pay attention. They have taken counsel against you. He said, let us go up, and this he tells him what they said. Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Well, the word Tabeel literally means pleasing to God, or God is good. Okay? So they're saying, this is their point of view, that this is God is pleasing to God if they take it away from Judah, because Judah hasn't been the greatest in the world. And see, the church hasn't been the greatest in the world, has it? And there's going to be a lot of things taken away from the church realm, the Christian realm, the Jewish realm, the Baptist realm, the Catholic realm, the Pentecostal realm, whatever it is. It's going to be taken away from them because they didn't take care of what God gave them. They didn't listen to what God said. They made up their own rules and regulations, just like the Jews did when Moses got the Ten Commandments. They added 682 more laws to it. Well, you can't even remember them, much less keep them. So, you know, they're doomed to failure. So he says in verse 7, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. He said, don't worry about it. They're not going to take over and run you. They're only going to do what I want them to do. And there's a time when God permits the hard things to come against us. It's for our benefit, isn't it? He's not beating us up. He's trying to correct us. No, he's not trying to. He is going to correct us one way or the other. Whether we run away and hide in the belly of a big fish or get puked up on the beach, sooner or later, one way or another, we're going to come back and do what we was asked to do. See, and God doesn't tell us. He asks us to do something, and we have to love him enough to do what he says. If you love me, you'll what?
Keep my
commandments. See, if you love him, you'll do them. You won't even complain. You'll be glad to do them. And verse 8, it goes on and said, because the head of Syria and Damascus, and the head of is the head of Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken, that is not even a people. See? He said, don't worry about them because they're being used for his benefit, and when he gets done with them, what will he do with them?
Get to Messiah.
He'll break them too. So he'll take them and do what he needs to do with them. Verse 9, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. Here's the big key, just like we were talking a minute ago. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. How are you going to be established in this life? By believing what God said, not believing that there is a demon or a devil or a God or a hell or a heaven or any of these things that the church world is focused on. The only focus is upon believing what God said. That's the beginning of it all, isn't it? That's the key. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask me a sign of the God of God. Ask it either in the depths or in the heights above." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord." And he said, "Hear ye now, Shammah. Hear intelligently with the intent to respond. O house of David, is it a small thing to worry men? But will you worry my God also?" This is Isaiah speaking. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive or become pregnant and bear a son, and shall call his name or his nature and his character and his authority Emmanuel." What do you think that is? What does Emmanuel mean? God within us, not with us. See, that's external, right? And that's the way most people in Adam thought God was external. Most people view God as external. As long as you see him external, do you ever think it'll ever change? So he thought God was external, and Isaiah is telling you, this one coming, you're going to know that God is with us by him. You're going to know it. He's within us, okay? You remember in Matthew 5, I had a teaching a long, long time ago in Matthew 5, verse 18. And it says, "Because verily I say you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Mm-hmm. Till the concept of heaven and earth pass, God up in heaven and us down here in earth. And that's the same concept we're talking about back here. See? If you do not believe, you shall not be established. You've got to understand that God is with us right now inside of us. Verse 15, we talk about this child, this son that's to be born. "Butter and honey shall he eat, that he," cross out the word "may," because that's an added word. It's a doubt word anyway, isn't it? "That he know to refuse evil and choose good." Do you know what that key tells you right there? If you eat butter and honey, you shall know to refuse evil and choose the good. You'll know which course to take in life, won't you? It'll be like an internal GPS built into you. When you eat the word and the honey, you shall have an internal GPS that'll give you the course to travel. True or false? The word and the revelation of God. It's the word and the revelation of the word. Butter is the word. Honey is the revelation of that word. So when you eat the word and it turns to the revelation, when the water becomes wine, another way to say it, okay, you'll know which course to travel, won't you? People ask me, "How do you know?" I said, "Because I know the nature of God, and anything outside that nature is not my course." How simple is that? If you don't know God, if you don't know the nature of God, then you will be confused and be led astray down all kinds of paths. Okay, verse 16. "Because before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you abhor shall be" what? Literally, it said, "shall be freed from the presence of both her kings," and it's really not there. Okay? It doesn't say it that way. "It will be freed from the presence of duality or two masters." Hello, what land is he talking about? Your land, absolutely, you. He said, before the child will know to do it, you're... Oh, God. Listen to what it says. Before you can even know to choose good over evil, the land will be freed from the presence of duality. When he died on the cross, what did he do? He freed us. He set us free, didn't he?
Which was before the fact.
which was before the foundation of the world. Before we ever know to do right and wrong, we've already been set free, but we don't know it. Kind of like when Paul and Alice was coming here, they had a little dog they called Zoe. Cute little dog. And they would give her a bath, and they had this chain in front of the fireplace, the gas fireplace, and they would hook her to this thing in her collar, just snap it in the little hook on her collar, and make her sit there till the warm heat dried her out real good so she wouldn't get sick, I think, you know. Well, after a while, that dog got so used to sitting before that fire after she had a shower, they'd go over and just pick up the clip and just tap it on the collar, and she'd hear that metal click, and they'd lay the chain down, and she wasn't even chained. And she would sit there for hours and would never even get up and walk away because she knew she couldn't in her mind. Okay. And that's the way people are. They're free, but they don't know the chain has never been hooked back up to their neck. That's amazing, but that's the way people are. Just like that dog. Verse 17, we have a little context change here. The Lord shall bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house days that have not come from the day of Ephraim, day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. Okay? He said he's going to bring days on he's never been. That's not necessarily a good thing in our eyes. We see something, God bringing something on us, we're all in fear and trying to hide from it. But it's the things that we need to bring the truth out of us, to get rid of all that excess that we think wrongly, okay? And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is the uttermost parts of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. What do you think that's speaking of, the fly and the bee that's in Egypt and Assyria?
Isn't the fly the curse?
A fly was a curse, and the bee is a curse. See, they're both curses, just a witness of it. Bees represent demonic thoughts, curses, same thing. In the land of Assyria, of duality, and the fly is part of Egypt or the world, okay? Part of that curse of the world. And he said, they shall come and shall rest. How many of them? All of them. All of them in the desolate valleys and in the holes in the rocks and upon the thorns and upon all the bushes. Now look here. He said they're all going to come into the desolate valleys. Our valleys should not be desolate in our mind. That's what he's talking about. These bees are, this is thoughts in her head. All these crazy thoughts. They should not be desolate valleys in her. That's an open place for all these other things to get in. There should not be holes in the rocks. A hole in a rock is a good place for a bee or a fly, isn't it? And that's what they're going to do. If we leave our mind open, if we fill our mind with the Word of God, that butter and honey in verse 15, we're going to know which course to take. And if we don't, that's what's going to get filled up with. But see, everybody started out being filled up this way, didn't they? We all have to fight our way through it. There's no free passes, is there?
It's only the flesh that you're fighting.
Yep. You're fighting his fleshly thinking. And it says, and they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks and upon all thorns and upon all bushes. That's the curses. And in the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor, literally expose that is hired, namely by them beyond the river. So he's saying, I'm going to bring all this negativity to expose you. When you get your head shaved, your feet shaved, all the hair upon your body, wouldn't that expose you? And see, it'll reveal something that people don't want revealed. That covering is removed, that natural covering removed. And in the Jewish culture, your beard and your hair was your identity. A bald head was considered a curse. And to have a clean shaven face was bad. That beard is the identity of the Jewish nation. So wasn't a good deal. And it said, it also shall consume the beard, which again was the identity or the maturity. Of course, a man didn't grow a beard when he was 5 years old, did he?
Wasn't the hair considered a protection also?
Well, it is in the weather. It is a lot. But still, it was considered the identity or the maturity when a man had a beard. But they expected everyone to have that. And it shall come to pass in that day. And what day are we talking about? The day of the Lord. And that's not just back then. The day of the Lord in your life is whenever God's dealing with you, isn't it?
No.
It's whenever he started dealing with you, and it's until he's through dealing with you. It's still the day of the Lord, isn't it? Once it starts, there's no end to it in your life. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk. And what does milk speak of? The Word. The milk of the Word, sincere milk of the Word. That they shall give, he shall eat butter. And butter is also can be seen as the anointed or the revelation of the Word. Because butter and honey, that word in Revelation, shall everyone eat that is left in the land. Now, who's he talking about? Left in the land. Everyone left the land. Not everybody in the world, but everyone left in the land. What land? That's first fruit remnants. That's the ones the mind in the mind of Christ. Everyone that's still in the land, the mind of Christ, is going to eat butter and honey. Wouldn't that be the first fruit chosen? The ones he chose before the foundation of the world. Has nothing to do with what we do. We can't earn anything. It's just who he chose. Just as he chose Jesus to be the first born son, the first begotten son, that's all. He just chose him. For whatever reason, he chose that one. And the rest of us, whenever he wants us to do something, it's his choice. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines at 1,000 silverlings, it shall even be for briars and thorns. Now we're talking about a vineyard, vines. What's a vineyard represent?
Wine.
Well, no. Go back further. The church. My vineyard. He planted his vineyard in the earth, didn't he? His church.
Fruit.
So he's saying the fruit from the vineyard, the church, is briars and thorns. There's nothing left, is there? That's not producing what's good. Remember in Isaiah 5, he said he planted a vineyard in a very fruitful hill,
yeah.
And it brought forth, when he went to get the grapes, it brought forth poisonous, stinking berries.
Yeah.
See, been a while since we've been there. But okay, let me see where I'm at now. There. It says, with arrows and with bows shall men come thither. Man's answer is always what?
War.
Exactly. Man's answer is always force. Take it. God's answer is not force. God can do it without force. God does everything with his love, doesn't he? Changes it all with love. Because all the land shall become what? Briars and thorns, cursed. When Adam fell, and we're going to get into that in a few more chapters, when the whole earth was cursed because of Adam, right? And it says, the whole land shall all, because all the land shall become briars and thorns, or cursed. Every bit of flesh is a curse. I don't care how much you like your flesh, it's still a curse. You've got to fight through this stuff, you know, and realize that there's something better than this. Verse 25 says, and on all hills that shall be digged. Now, what are we again? We just talked about the vineyards. What were they? Churches. It says, on all hills that are digged with the mattock, and literally it talks about vineyards are planted and cultivated by man, and that's churches, okay? And all of them are planted, all those hills, and what's a hill represent? Do you remember? It's a small government, each individual. Like you got mountains, speak of the big government, hills speak of the small governments. Okay? And on all hills that shall be digged, and so wherever you put the churches, with a mattock, and that speaks of man's effort, doesn't it? When you're swinging a mattock, that's man's effort. This is not God's stuff, this is man's religion. There shall not come thither, or not go there. You said, there shall not go there the fear of briars and thorns. Whatever man does, there's no fear of the briar and thorns where God's men, I mean, where the man's work is.
No.
Because they are the curse.
You know, the curse has been reversed.
Yeah. Those people have the curse. You don't have to worry about it. But it shall be for the sending forth, right? Or literally, the pasturing is what it should say of oxen. Not for the sending forth, but the pasturing of oxen. And for the treading of goats. He said, you don't have to worry about the curse, because when it's cursed, what's going to happen to it? There's a reason for it. It's going to provide food for the oxen and for the goats.
horse, a sheep.
Yeah, that's four-legged critter. It's going to be for the beasts to feed on. And do you know how many people are being fed in those places today?
What?
Most.
They're just eating the wrong food.
They're just eating the wrong food. They're in the wrong restaurant.
They're in a place that has thorns and briars in it.
Yep.
They're eating
briars and thorns. If you see a goat, it'll eat those old wild roses and everything else. Just sit there and chew away like nothing to it. And if we did that, our lips would be bleeding to death before we could get one of them chewed up. Any questions or comments?